It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And here we are, Coach. I am so excited for the fact that we have started the new season of Skate Talk.
Yes.
I do want to thank Jimmy Blair, who is a busy, busy man. He is all over the place. If you need anything for your skates, you need cast for new boots, you need to talk to Jimmy Blair. PinnacleRaising.com is his website. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for all the support, for all that you do for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Absolutely, and coming up very shortly, we are going to speak with someone directly from China, fresh off the plane.
I cannot wait to do that. It is Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet, too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we are fresh done with Worlds. I believe most of the athletes are back here.
I believe the staff is back too.
And we kind of want to use this episode of Skate Talk to talk a little bit about what happened with World Championships, and that's going to be what we do.
We're going to do that, and we're also going to find out that transition of how a person feels about Worlds when they themselves was a World Team member on the quad era days, and then now they've been sponsored, they became a coach, have a daughter, first year Worlds and going over, and now he's a parent and a coach over there watching his daughter skate, what that was like. We have Jeff Foster on the line. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. We got home. We were one of the fortunate people because Irma didn't quite get this way, so we got home on Monday, and I went to work yesterday and today. And Jasmine went to school yesterday and today. She's pretty tired getting used to
the sleep
change adjustment coming back.
Yeah.
How difficult is that trip over there? Because it's like so many different legs of the journey. Kind of just take us through that real quick.
Well, we left out of Philly. Well, actually, for us, as a family, it was really hard. Because Jasmine had to go out on the 24th. So Jasmine flew out with Mary out of Philly to Washington, to Beijing, to Nanjing. And then I went out on the 26th from Philly to San Francisco to Beijing to Nanjing. And then Tammy had to fly out on the 31st from Philly to, I think it was Washington to Beijing to Nanjing. So for a family, we had to fly out on 3 different flights.
3 different time slots.
Because of vacation and getting her out there on time. So it was pretty traumatic. And just to making sure everybody got there, you know. But it all worked out. You know the Tinsons arranged a parent bus and and it was very, very, very helpful. So everybody got there, and once we all got there, everything was good.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys racked up quite a bit of frequent flyer miles with the whole family kind of going over there, or at least wise Jasmine and then you and Mom. So here's some questions. Is what was your experience like as a dad sitting in the stands watching your daughter compete?
Well, you know, when we got, you know, the call that she was going to go to the Worlds, you know, we were basically, you know, you might just get the marathon, you might not get any races, and she got the 300, and she got the 300 and the 100, And it was hard because I was the only one there that was playing, that was wearing all three hats. I had been there as an athlete. I was a coach, and I was a parent. And a lot of parents were coming up to me and asking me, you know, how's this go? And it was difficult, but actually, in some points, it was pretty gratifying because it came full circle for us as a family.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think of, because again, your experience is, you know, you were a world team member. You were that athlete that was involved in a competition and being pulled around and competing in different races and whatnot. Now here's your daughter and you're watching her and kind of giving her advice. What was some differences that you noticed about what Worlds was like for you versus for her? And then, what was it like in the perspective of how you saw it as a, you know, as a young person versus as an adult? I mean, it's got to be a little bit of a different take on how you actually experience, you know, that experience, so to speak.
Well, when I went to Worlds, everything was paid for, and we only took four people, four men, four women, and they were seniors. So the whole dynamics, how the coaches had to handle that, is totally different. Mm-hmm. You know, the coaches now have to handle 24 kids versus when we went, it was only 8 kids. So that was fully funded. So what the coaches have to go through with Jay and Renee and Mary and BJ have to go through, you have to commend them because they had a lot to deal with. Now, given that the part of being an athlete is basically still the same, I have taken the take that, you know, I passed on my daughter to the coaches. You know, I talked to my daughter, you know, a little bit, but Renee, and I trusted Renee and Jay and Mary and BJ in her care. They're the coaches. Just yeah. Like a college coach passes on that athlete to the pro.
Right.
You know, if somebody asks me my opinion, you know me, I got no problem giving it, but I am not going to present my opinion because those coaches have a job, and I got to say, yeah. You know, they did an exceptional job. Renee, Jay, BJ, Mary, they did an exceptional job.
Yeah.
I do think that the NGB needs to give them more resources
mm-hmm.
to do their job better. But what they had to deal with, you can't ask for more from those four people.
Yeah.
You know, they get 24 athletes, and they have 24 personalities along mm-hmm. with parents that they have to manage, and that is a big task.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just told my daughter, look, these are your coaches. I am basically not your coach. You know, I'm your father here, and that's what I try to do. I try to give her space,
yeah,
and let her interact with the athletes and, you know, do what she needed to do. And I think she had a very good experience. We all had a very good experience, you know, and I think that it was good. It was hard sitting there because, you know, is it somebody's there, you know, should have done this or should have done, but you know what? I sat up in the stands and I just kept my mouth shut. That's what I did. You ask anybody there. I just kind of sat there and was trying to do my little videos, and that's all I was trying to do.
Yeah, and we appreciated the videos. Got a chance to watch most of them. I understand Jasmine got her personal best. Was it in the 300?
Actually, her personal best was in the 300 and the 100.
Oh, and the 100. Oh, good. Okay,
good deal. It's a personal best in both of them. And it's all about the experience. You know, I was trying to videotape, but then I don't know what happened. Everything, I got cut off. I was all videotaping and everything, and then all of a sudden,
you were yelling and swinging your arms around. You probably clicked it off accidentally. That's probably what happened. You went into dad mode.
No, I'm telling you. I think they just cut me off.
Jeff, I don't know what happened.
I was just trying to. I still have some videos I'm going to put out there. I just haven't been able to do it because I had to get back to work and you know, try to pay for all this.
Yeah.
But you know, the parents were phenomenal out there. Like I say, can't say enough about the Texans getting the bus because that got the athletes to the venue on time. And like I say, you know, we definitely need to do more to make that happen. But it was a good experience, and the skaters, they skated the butts off. I mean, they really did. I know we didn't, you know, do as good as people would like, but I saw nothing but 100% effort out there by all the skaters. You know, I don't want to say who's getting good, who's, you know, because, you know, we all know. But, well, I mean, they all.
It's an individual basis, so.
Doing what they need to do.
Yeah. So, first of all, I'd like to add to what you just said. And you know, obviously our world team staff selection was second to none, in my opinion. I know that there's been a lot of great coaches over the years, and I would never say any of them weren't better or whatever. I would never try to compare one person over the other, but I'll say that our staff that we had this year, knowing each and every one of them on a personal level and the heart, the effort, the dedication that they put into it, and I know you know all of them very well as well, you're right. I mean, those people just are never, I don't think you could possibly thank them enough, and I don't think that you could, you know, do enough for them for what they do for the sport and for these athletes. So each and every one of them are absolute rock stars, in my opinion. So I agree with you, and Skate Talk supports exactly what you said. So
I think that a lot of people don't understand the complexity of this event.
Sure.
And you remember, we're sending, some people sent their parents, their child over there that could not, the parents could not afford to go. I mean, I went with my daughter, and of course, you know, we went as a family, but there are a lot of people that go out there that cannot.
Yeah.
They just can't afford to send their athlete. And I think that people that second guess Monday morning quarterback do not understand how hard it is to get, you know, the athletes from the United States to the venue, to the competition, to the practice. Make sure everything's right. We have passports. We have visas. We have credentials to get everybody on the bus. I just don't think people understand how hard that is. And it's real easy for people to criticize.
Yeah.
And I really think, you know, to be honest, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
I do think that the NGB needs to do more to give those coaches the resources to do their jobs better. Because they did a phenomenal job with the limited resources that they had.
Well, and hopefully, you know, hopefully that's in the works, and hopefully, you know, the NGB is working towards, you know, newer things and progressing to do that. You know, all we can do is hope and push, you know, try to push wherever we can push and fight with the resistance. But again, you're right. You know, I mean, I had an opportunity to go once. Of the four times Christian went to Worlds, I had an opportunity to go once. And I had to rely the other three times on people being there to help out my son and make sure he got where he needed to be. And you're right. Again, all the staffs that were there did a magnificent job of taking care of our children and making sure these athletes have what they need as best as they can within their abilities. So, but, you know, one of the questions I have for you, again, is coming from the quad days and skating on the parabolic track, and I would assume when you went to Worlds, you probably raced on a parabolic track as well. What do you think of, you know, there's always this discrepancy of parabolic and smooth concrete versus a flat bank and coated tracks. So what do you think as far as speeds that these other countries are carrying? I mean, is it a decisive advantage that you see from a coach's perspective, as an athlete's perspective? Is it an advantage that the other teams have, being that they have flat bank tracks with coating on them versus us not? And what's your thoughts on that?
The flat track, it is obviously an advantage. When we skate on a parabolic track, our cornering is to our advantage. When you go into a parabolic track and you have to make a short turn to the left, we definitely have the advantage. On the flat track, that is almost totally eliminated.
Right.
You know, we have a parabolic track, and we have two or three flat tracks, I believe, around the country. At we definitely need to go to the non-parabolic track. That, the non-parabolic track is not necessarily a flat track. It's just a track that goes from a certain 0 degree up to whatever degree it is.
Right, it's a flat bank.
Yeah, flat bank, as you say. And yeah. I do think the parabolic track, there are two things. The parabolic track definitely hurts us, and the fact that the track is not coated.
Right.
And we need to fix that if we're going to be, if we're going to put our athletes in the position to do well. We have to get a track that is coated with the substance that everybody else is competing on. If you look at what's going on in Colombia, they all the tracks that they built are non-parabolic, and we need to do something about that. I don't know how we do that with the resources that we have. You know, I've always said I think we need to alternate the trials between Florida and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the excuses are the track isn't up to code. And I think that if they want to get their track up to code, I think a lot of coaches would love to spend a weekend, a long weekend in Florida fixing that track.
Right.
I think that is a non-issue. I think that's an excuse. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to provide, I think there is a lot of people that say if you want to bring the Florida track up to code, Plexiglass, I will go down there for a long weekend, and I will have a ball getting the track up to date. Now, the coating on the track, that may be another issue. There, I understand the expense of that can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as athletes, skaters, coaches, parents, and the NGB may have to address that. But definitely, we are at a disadvantage, and we need to put our athletes in a position so they can compete on an equal playing field with the rest of the world.
And we've talked about that a lot on Skate Talk as we get our team members ready to go over. And no matter how strong they are always going to have that disadvantage. And, man, we have sent over some strong teams lately, some strong skaters, but they don't have the proper experience leading into it. Now, the plus side is I know Coach has said when he wins the Powerball,
yes,
that's going to be what he builds.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
All we have to do is send him some positive vibes, yeah, and then we will have that track in his backyard.
That's every coach in the United
exactly,
States, I think,
yeah,
basically says that. You know, if I win the lottery, I'm going to build a track for these kids. And
I'll go down to Florida and do the coding for that track that they need.
So, you know, it's interesting, Jeff, all the comments you made, and we had a conversation with Chad Hedrick not too long ago on Skate Talk, and you know, he had said that when they took it away from the parabolic track and went to the flat track, they took away strategy of skating and knowledge of how to race, and they turned it into who's just the strongest and you know, can hold the bottom, basically. And that was Chad's opinion of it and his thoughts. But, you know, I guess I'm going to play devil's advocate on you because, again, you're over there and you are a coach that coaches high-level athletes and have competed at a high level. So I'm going to be devil's advocate, and I'm going to argue with you on this, and I'm going to say, okay, we don't have a flat bank. We don't have, you know, the Vosmoskis coated track, so that hinders our athletes. Okay, well, what about road? Because asphalt and concrete are the same no matter what country you go to. And the marathon is 26.2 miles no matter where you go. And it's, you know, turns, regular turns, hairpin turns. But everything is the same no matter what country you go to for a marathon or for the road portion of racing. So, and we still seem to kind of be, I don't want to say falling short, but, you know, we're just falling off of those podium spots by a few placements here or there. And,
well,
what's your thoughts?
I would tell you, we skated, Team USA skated a lot better on the road. They skated phenomenal.
Okay.
I mean, yes, we came short, and I'm sure you've seen some of the videos, we came short on some of the races on the road. But, and I agree with Chad, but I think that what is happening here is we do not race enough in the USA.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You are right on with that.
These other countries are racing. We are, and the other thing that's happening, we are using our financial resources to go to these other countries to race, which takes away from our resources in the United States.
Yes.
Yeah, and what happens is the people that have the money can send their children to Germany, to France, to do these races. But I don't know if that's necessarily giving us our best races, because we do not, if you look at when we were doing well, we were having a lot of races in the USA. The United States of America has to come to a consensus. Are we going to have races in the United States? And if we're going to support them, if you look at the rule set, it has changed. We're getting ready to getting rid of the 300 meter. We are getting rid of the road relay, and we are dropping the points of limit to 5K. So overall, races kind of are getting shorter. So we went to a point where we were doing, it was marathon, marathon, marathon. That has changed. We were going back to shortening the races, 10K, 15K, which is good for us as the United States, because then we can put on races in a short time frame. But that's what we need to do. We are not racing enough in the United States. We are not supporting races. Those are geese above me going south. We are not supporting races in the USA like we need to.
Well, yeah, and you look at, say...
We need every region to at least put on one outdoor race a year. We have to have people racing, because where we made mistakes has nothing to do with the coaching, because you can only do so much. It had to do with we do not have the race experience that we used to have in the past.
And we've seen over the years, you know, unfortunately, the enrollment for the Duluth Inline Marathon has dropped off. But if you were to say Inline Marathon, you automatically default to Duluth, maybe in our area, Chicago. But it used to be back, and we've talked about this a lot on Skate Talk, early 2000s, late 1990s, you know, 1997, 98. You could go every weekend, find a 10K somewhere with top skaters.
Yeah.
You could go there, and you would find that region's top skaters at that event, and
in our local area, within, you know, a two-hour drive of my hometown, we've lost probably 15 races that used to happen every year.
We used to have in Elkhart, Indiana, which is about, you know, hour and 45 minutes from us, they would have a race weekend. There was a crit race. There was a half marathon. We were getting skaters from Canada. Mm-hmm. We would get all the Chicago skaters,
yep.
The Cleveland skaters.
Yep.
Everyone was coming. And then all of a sudden, because these are all the best skaters, man, that front pack was fast.
Yeah.
You were talking, okay, these are our top level athletes, and the event dried up.
So what do we do, Jeff? I mean, is it just people taking the initiative? Are you saying somebody from every region just needs to step up? Because, I mean, we're dealing with situations where a perfect example, and I mean, I'm just going to call it out. Mr. B tried to put on his own invitational that he's always kind of done with Joe. Joe went a different direction this year for an invitational because of Worlds, and Mr. B was going to try to put on his own invitational and couldn't get it to happen. Not enough numbers to show up. So... I mean, the Chicago Marathon happens every year right after Nationals, and their numbers are dwindling and dwindling. Duluth is dwindling and dwindling.
We have to get the athletes there, and I'm not sure what the issue is. I'm not sure what the aversion is for the athletes getting there, but the athletes have to get there. I mean, we've even seen, like, for the indoor league meets, the attendance is dwindling.
Well, I would say to you, most indoor league meets, I know in our area, the indoor league meets are pretty much up. And I think that people need to look at the big picture. You know, the thing with Georgia was a little, it was unique. It was unique. I have been putting races on, and if I get USA Rural Sports Insurance versus private insurance, it can be done. I mean, I think that we are at a point where if you want to put on inline races, you have to get past the point if you want to make money.
Right.
You have to have a long-term strategy. When we do our ESS race, we're not doing it to make money. I can show you the books. We don't make any money. We probably lose $500 to $1,500 a year, which I am fine with. Because putting on the race locally, losing $1,500, obviously offsets if I didn't have the race and I had to take my daughter to a race and it would cost me $10,000 a year.
Right.
And I think that that's what people don't understand. If you put a race on in your area, a series, and you lose $1,000 a year, versus if you got to go all over the country to go to races and have to lose $10,000. And I think that's where people lose that. We have to have a business sense of this. And,
right.
And that's what, you know, our ESS series, like I said, I don't do any of that to make any money.
Right.
Anybody looking at the awards, anybody looking at the venue, well, there's no way we're making money.
Well, there's, but
I think that we need to have races locally again, 5Ks, 10Ks, because we used to have races. I mean, I can remember when my wife would call me up and say, I heard there's a race on Thursday, and this is 2 days before, and we would go.
Right.
And we would race. And I think we need to get back to that, the 5Ks, the 10Ks, keep the price down, and get people racing again.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what other countries are doing.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be getting involved in a project with Africa, and I'm going to be traveling there to help them get their program, because they just want to race. They just want to race.
I see how it is. So our masterful coach, Jeff Foster, who's very knowledgeable, is going to go and teach a competing country of ours to be better than us. This is what's happened in the past, Jeff. All of our good athletes and coaches went and coached these other countries, and now we can't beat them.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to build the business. Let's look at it. If you were a car manufacturer,
yeah,
you want more people driving cars.
Right.
You got Ford. All these car companies cannot survive unless more people drive cars.
Right.
So I'm trying to build the skating business. That has always been my build the skating business. You talk to me, I'm saying, listen, if you want to sell more uniforms, you need to have more skaters. If you want to sell more skaters, you need to have more. If you want to sell more skates, you need to have more skaters.
Right.
It's like a pizza. If the pizza is bigger, you can put more pepperonis on it.
I'm gonna say I hit a nerve.
You're gonna put a couple pepperonis on it. And that has been our problem.
Yeah.
We are not trying to build the business.
Yeah. Well, you know, just on a quick note, I mean, I looked at some finances and looked at some numbers, and, you know, the level one clinics have now came back. You know, USARS had them. They did away with them. Now they brought them back. So level one clinics to qualify for outdoor nationals locally in your own region are available again. And if you look at the cost to fly an athlete and a parent out to Colorado, to stay at a hotel out at Colorado, to actually pay for the training session in Colorado to qualify, you can actually, for half of that cost, put on an event in your own hometown and qualify yourself with a coach coming in for half of that cost. And
exactly.
and qualify exactly. more people. So it always kind of straggles my mind on why more coaches and why more teams and more athletes aren't, you know, like you said, taking advantage of that opportunity that's provided for them. And that's...
I'll tell you, it's because of egos.
Yeah.
It's egos, and that's it.
Man.
You know, the Foster family is in the skate business. And I have always told my son, my wife, my daughter, we need to build the business.
Right.
My son's a referee. I'm a coach. My daughter skates. My wife skates. You need to expand the business. If you expand the business, everybody's happy. Because 10% of one person skating versus 10% of a million skating is what we need to look for.
Right.
And that is the focus that we do not have.
Right.
And I don't care if you're into whatever, you know, we got a lot of turmoil going on in the organization. If your focus is not building the skate business,
OK, Okay.
You're going to fail.
Right.
And that, I think that that's what, that, you know, it's what happened. Our world team, those kids skated their butts off.
We skated every year they do.
On the war, yeah. On the road, they were phenomenal. I mean, and the parents were passionate. The parents were all for the skaters. The parents were supporting the coaches.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been lack of want or effort. I don't think it's ever been lack of want or effort. Like you said, I think it all boils down to is our athletes just don't have near the opportunity to actually compete. And there's something to be said about competing versus training. I understand training is important.
That's what it is. We need to put our skaters in a racing setting, and we need to do it in the United States.
Yep.
We need to build skating in the United States. It's not that hard. I've been doing it for years, and I know people say it's really difficult. It can be difficult, but it's not impossible.
Well, we just got to start finding a way to lower the cost everywhere we can and try to make it more affordable for athletes and parents and try to also change. I mean, you've had this discussion in private. You know, it's also changing the culture of the thinking of the parents and getting them to actually know what they should be doing rather than them just guessing what they should be doing and start steering parents and athletes in a positive direction.
And I think having, you know, at the teams and the coaches saying, hey, not only here's the league meet schedule, but here are some outdoor events that if we get enough people together, we can basically all pile into the van and cut down on expenses and take 10 skaters to Duluth, to Chicago, to the Eastern Seaboard Series, wherever. I mean, there's so many options. I tell you what, Jeff, time goes by super, super fast.
My gosh.
And we've got a jet because practice is calling, but we're going to have you back because there's still so much more we want to talk about worlds and about things we can do as a country to help grow and bring new blood into the sport. So you got to join us again, all right?
Well, I tell you, I had a phenomenal time at Worlds as a parent, a former athlete. I got to talk to Bill Beggs, all kinds of Colombian coaches, people that I skated against, and I had a blast. And I think I'm going to go next year, no matter what happens.
Nice.
It was really fun.
Cool.
And I just want to say thank you to you guys for really putting the focus back on speed skating and trying to promote it because this is what we need. What you guys do is phenomenal, and you have to keep doing it.
You're too kind.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words, and just for maybe some new listeners to Skate Talk, go to our Podomatic page. We do have BoomerAndTheCoach.com, which is up right now.
Woo-hoo!
We're just in the process of loading up the archive of shows that we have.
Oh, my gosh.
Because if you go to the website, which we encourage you to do so, we don't have all of our shows up there.
Right.
But we've got a lot of shows in the bank that we would love for you to be able to hear. So,
a lot of great interviews.
Thanks so much for all the kind words, Jeff. And I know together we can continue to grow the sport. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We're powered by Pinnacle Racing. Thank you so much, Jimmy Blair. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.